The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These last few weeks, we've been reading from Matthew's Gospel, and we've been looking at parables. And as we looked at those parables, a lot of times the parables could be interpreted in different ways. There were different truths in those parables. This morning, we don't have parable, but we do have a story. And that story as well, too, can be looked at and seen, and seen different truths within that story, or it can be interpreted in different ways. Our story for today starts out that Jesus had just heard about his cousin, John the Baptist. I'm not sure how close Jesus and John the Baptist were, but they probably were fairly close. I mean, it goes all the way back to the birth stories of both of them. If you remember in the early stories there, that Mary, when she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus, ran to tell Elizabeth, the mother of John, of the joy of and the blessing that she has received. And so, who knows? These kids may have grown up together, Jesus and John the Baptist. You know, they were probably together at family reunions or birthday parties and those kind of things. So I'm not sure how close they were together, but in ministry, they were very close. God had planned it that way, that John would be the forerunner of Jesus to proclaim, "Get ready, get ready, the Messiah is coming." And so in that sense, they actually worked together in helping usher in the kingdom of God into this earth. So I'm sure Jesus was very upset at the loss of John the Baptist, not only on a personal level, but also on a shared ministry level, but even more than that, that this beheading of John the Baptist was kind of an indication of what was going to happen then, eventually, with Jesus. That this is the way that the world treats those who come from God. That Jesus, too, was already starting to make some enemies. And that this, too, may be the same fate that Jesus would be going through. And so Jesus needed time. He needed time alone. He needed a deserted place to be able to pray to God, his Father. And then also just to think all of these events through. But then also to grieve the loss of his cousin. And so Jesus left where he was. He was probably doing ministry there. And he got in the boat with the disciples. And they headed off towards the lake to a spot that they knew that there weren't any towns close by. That there shouldn't be anybody over there. But when people saw that happening, they started running around the lake or along the shoreline. And as they went, you know, people probably stuck their heads out of the windows of their houses or out of their businesses and kind of turned and looked, where are all these people going? And they shouted, "Jesus is going over that way." So as the people went around the lake, more people joined in. And so by the time Jesus and the disciples hit that spot where they were going to be, that deserted area. It wasn't deserted anymore. Matthew here gives a number of 5,000 men besides women and children. So you're looking at 10,000 people maybe, 12,000, maybe 20,000 people there on that shoreline waiting for Jesus, needing Jesus, wanting Jesus. Jesus sees that crowd. He could have easily just had the disciples turn the boat around. Let's go find somewhere else. This is too busy. But he didn't. He saw them and he had compassion for them. And he spent the day with them, curing their diseases, ministering to them, talking to them, laying on his hands, maybe welcoming the children, giving hugs. And it was a long day. I know if you've worked around people for a full day, if you've gone to conventions or if you work around people, if you work in a store or somewhere else where there's constantly people, that's almost as exhausting as hard physical labor sometimes. You get exhausted at the end of the day. I'm sure the disciples were there at this point. The disciples had already been sent out to get ready for Christ, to make the people ready to preach, to tell the good news, and to heal as well then too. So I'm sure the disciples were working hard that day as well. And they were tired. And the people probably too were fairly tired after being out in the sun all day, being outside with the elements. And so the disciples were getting somewhat concerned. It was getting towards supper time. It was getting late in the day. And so the disciples approach Jesus and say, "Hey, it's time to cut it off here. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm tired and when I'm hungry, I start to get a little grumpy. I think the disciples were worried about this crowd. You get thousands of people who are tired and who are hungry. Who knows what might happen? Jesus, send them away. Let them go home and find their supper." Jesus says, "No, you feed them. You feed them." Disciples are, "What? Feed them? We don't even have enough here for our own group. We don't have enough for even 13 people. All we have is these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the loaves weren't the big 2-pound HEB sacked up, Wonder Bread sliced up white stuff. No, these were more like big biscuits. The loaves were like big biscuits. And the fish weren't some 15-pound catfish, but rather they were small fish like herring that were probably either pickled or dyed. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to the fish. It was more for flavoring than for anything else. So they didn't have much food, but okay, Jesus, here it is. And so Jesus takes it. He blesses it. It was a common practice to say a table prayer, just as we do. We usually have our table prayers that we say, like maybe, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." A lot of times Jesus, or the Jews then, would maybe pull something out of the Psalms, like our Psalm 145 today actually was probably used as maybe a table prayer. "The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord. You give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature." So Jesus offers up this prayer. He breaks the food up into small pieces, gives it to the disciples, and the disciples start to distribute it. Our story tells us that when everybody was finished eating, the disciples once again collected all the leftovers, much like we do, we've got leftovers after a meal. We stuff them in a Tupperware container and shove them in the refrigerator. For the disciples, or for the people in that day and time, they would pick up what they didn't eat and put it in their satchel that they normally took with them. So the disciples pick up all the leftovers, and there was more food than they even started with. And the people were full. So what does this story tell us? What is the truth within this story for us to gain? I think there's at least 4 different interpretations or 4 different ways of looking at this story. One way is to take it simply at face value, that Jesus saw a need and he multiplied the fish and the loaves and there was plenty for everybody. Certainly, God the Father who created the heavens and the earth and the skies and the seas and the animals and the plants and who created us with all our complexities certainly could create more bread and more fish, enough to feed a crowd of that size. And it was a miracle because they were fed. Everyone was filled, it says here in our gospel lesson. So that's one way of looking at this story, that God provides. God provides everything we need, and God is willing to do whatever it takes and can do whatever it takes to provide for our needs. Another way of looking at this story is sacramentally, much like Holy Communion. If you put it in the context of Holy Communion, there's some similarities here. In Holy Communion, we get just a taste. We get the little wafer, or sometimes somebody makes some homemade bread, and you get a pinch of that homemade bread. And you get a taste of the wine, a small cup of wine or the grape juice. Maybe that's what happened here then too. That maybe they just got very small pieces, but it says they were filled. But if we take this sacramentally, if we think about what Holy Communion does, that Holy Communion is not about filling our physical bodies, but it's about filling us spiritually. Because it's in Holy Communion that we hear those words of forgiveness. We are tied to that cross and that resurrection, and we know that we will live. We are strengthened in that meal for a godly life. Our spirits are lifted. We are made clean. And by doing that, we are filled with that word of God. We are filled with that grace and with that mercy. And we walk away from that table, even though we've had just a taste, we walk away from that table being filled. And maybe that's what happened on this day as well then too. That maybe this meal wasn't about physically filling people up, but it was about fulfilling them with that healing of Christ and with that word of Christ. Some of the language here is even very similar to what we use for Holy Communion. Jesus takes that bread and the fish in this case, and he lifts it up and he blesses it. He gives thanks and he gives it to his disciples, saying, take. In this case, it's take and give it to the people in Holy Communion. It's take and eat. The intention is the same. The language is even the same. And when we receive Holy Communion, we know that we are forgiven. We know that we are cured. Just as in this story, that's what Jesus did that whole day long, as he cured people of their diseases. That's another way of looking at this. A third way of looking at this is looking at this as more of the messianic feast, of that feast we are to share with God when Christ comes again, of being filled in that capacity, in that way, knowing that we will not be hungry. We will not be hungry spiritually or physically at that feast. Our sins will be forgiven. Our diseases will be cured. We will have no pain. We will have no hurts. We will have no worries. We will be totally and completely healed through Jesus Christ. And we will be celebrating in a feast which has no end. And so that's another way of looking at this story. And one more way of looking at this story, and this goes about maybe a little bit more practical way of looking at it, is that when the crowd saw what was happening, when Jesus asked his disciples, or told his disciples, you feed them, and the disciples start ruffling through their satchels, their bags or baskets to get all the food they have, and the crowd sees that they don't have a whole lot of food, but yet Jesus is still willing to feed them, that he's willing to give up everything that he has. And the disciples are willing to follow Jesus and give up what they have. And so, possibly, as the food started coming around, as the disciples started distributing that food, the people saw that as well then, too, and said, you know, I never leave the home without taking my lunch with me or taking some food just in case I get stuck somewheres. So it's very possible people had food with them. And they said, I don't need all the food that I have. And so they, instead of starting to take stuff from the baskets or from the disciples, they actually started putting some of their own food into the baskets. And as the baskets went around, it ended up people had more food there than when Jesus started. And that in itself is a miracle, that Jesus is able to open up the hearts of people, to have a completely different attitude about God and about one another, of being willing to share, of being able to give of yourself and what you have, in order that others may be provided for. However this story goes, the people were filled. However you take the interpretation of this story, the people were filled by a miracle of Jesus Christ. That God provides for us. He gives us what we need. Everything on this earth is provided by God. He gives us all of everything of which we need. God also provides for us spiritually. He assures us of our salvation, that we have been forgiven of our sins, and that we will be raised with Christ on the last day and celebrate that feast which has no end. But as we live here on this earth then too, this story teaches us that it is good to share with one another. As Jesus had compassion on that crowd, Jesus went there with a different agenda. But when he saw the crowd, he had compassion. Jesus changed his mind or changed his plans to help those people. The people, as they saw the food being distributed, maybe opened up their hearts and changed their attitudes and their minds and their faith. Christ moves us in ways that we don't always understand. May God bless us as he blessed the people on the shore of Lake Galilee. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.